This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We're speaking to the petroleum industry with regards to South Africa's energy security. You know, what are we not doing right? What could we be doing better here? You know, we are speaking to the Petroleum Agency South Africa. They promote exploration of onshore and offshore oil and gas resources. And it will be very interesting just to find out, you know, all the different developments we've seen come out in the sector. We've seen climate activists come out to stop exploration. You know, we've seen, you know, big heavyweights in the oil and gas sector say we need to explore to make sure that, you know, energy poverty can end on the African continent. And so that's the conversation we'll be having now. We'll be keen to hear all your inputs there. And joining us for this conversation is Dr. Phindile Masangane. She is the Chief Executive Officer of Petroleum Agency of South Africa. Good evening, Dr. Phindile. Thank you for your time.
No, Luthando, good evening, and good evening to your listeners. Thank you so much for inviting Pasa to your show.
Yes, thank you so much for coming. I think it was important for the listener, I guess, to know. I asked Dr. Phindile how her day was, and she said her Monday was, said it was beautiful.
I said it was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
We were just having a conversation with our Director General, Mr. Jacob Mbele, who is the Director General of the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy. And he was asking us, as leaders in the sector, to say, guys, what do we need to do to restore energy security in the country? So that's what we've been doing all afternoon.
Oh, that's fantastic. So this is the perfect conversation to be having right now. You know, Dr. Pinda, I'd actually like to maybe start with an issue that's been topical, and then we'll move to, you know, the whole energy security issue. Last week, we heard from BP. That's a big, you know, oil company, basically, from the UK that has been investing in South Africa for a long time, come out and say, look, we'll no longer be giving South Africa's airports jet fuel. Now, this is actually something that they had mentioned last year already. It's not new. Should we be concerned about something like this?
I think it's not just the BP issue not supplying jet fuel that we should be concerned about. We should be concerned in general about how, as a country, we are continuing to depend more and more on imports in terms of all our liquid fuels, including our jet fuel supply. So if you see what is happening, the jet fuel withdrawal by BP is coming at the back of other companies withdrawing from doing any refining in our country. So we are losing our refining capacity in Oluthando. So while it is bad enough that in terms of crude oil supply itself, we're dependent on imports, right now, even in terms of finished product, we are going to depend on imports into the country. So it really is a concerning trend that we are seeing in South Africa. I think it's not just that we want to have our own refining capacity, but look at the things that come out of a refinery. So the other byproducts from a refinery support the economy. So you cannot just substitute your liquid fuels, your transport fuel needs with imports, because there are other strategic products or byproducts from a refinery that you lose as a country. And that is the knock-on effect that we're going to see in our economy. And you'll see this economy struggling if we do not arrest the current trend.
So I have to ask you, Dr. Pindle, what have we done wrong with our refinery capacity? Because, you know, it has dwindled over the years. It wasn't strong, you know, but what we did have, it seems like we haven't necessarily managed to maintain it. Where did we go wrong as a country?
I'll speak from the perspective of the feedstock that come into a refinery. So where we've done, where we've gone wrong, in my view, is that we've taken too long to bring to production our own oil and gas production. So these feedstock resources, what is used in a refinery, currently we import all of it into the country. If we were a petroleum producing country ourselves, i.e., if we were producing our own oil and gas, it would be easy for us to support our refining capacity, because fortunately for us, unlike other countries, we already had this infrastructure for refining. So it's a case of making sure that we support it with our own indigenous resources. But now we are on the back foot because we import the crude, we import the gas from other countries. So therefore, This is what has put us on a disadvantage. Mm. Of course, bearing in mind that investments as well in this refining capacity did not catch up with technology. But what made matters even worse was the fact that we're not producing our own oil and gas, and yet we are well endowed with this oil and gas, Nolutanda.
So that's what I want to talk to you about. You know, this the concept of South Africa, Southern Africa being well endowed with oil and gas is something that we don't speak about often, and maybe because it doesn't serve, the climate goals of the country, of everybody. But we have to speak about it, because if the resources are there and we're ignoring them while South Africa essentially becomes more and more energy poor, we could be doing ourselves a disservice.
Nolutando, climate change is real, and it is an existential crisis to humanity. So we've got to divest. We've got to bring more of cleaner energy sources into our energy mix. But that is going to take some time. And therefore, that's why we use the word transition. We are going to transition into a cleaner energy future. It's not going to be an abrupt stop. If you look at all countries that are advanced, they are still doing new investments in oil and gas. Because this world, for the past century, the global economy has developed at the back of oil and gas. We are so highly dependent on oil and gas. It's going to take us some time as a global economy, not just the South African economy, as a global economy, to shift from this high dependence of oil and gas to cleaner low carbon emission technologies and energy resources. So while we transition, the world is still going to use oil and gas. That is why all other countries are saying we are still going to exploit these resources. And what has happened in South Africa, sadly, we've polarized the debate.
Yes, absolutely.
We've polarized the debate. We have vilified gas in this country. We have vilified oil in this country. We have vilified coal in this country, as if the newer energy resources can completely substitute the use of fossil fuel. Yet this is not the case. There is not a one-to-one match at the moment. Those technologies are still developing. The cost of using those technologies is going down, but the whole world is still going to use oil and gas for some time to come.
Which brings me to the question of energy mix, because that's essentially what we're saying is the fact that it's a mix here, you know, and the whole issue with polarizing it is that the black and white thinking really prohibits us from having a constructive conversation about what we could be doing. So let's talk about, Dr. Pinley, in your view, the issue of South Africa's energy mix. And as we transition, because we, as you're saying, we're moving, this is a moving, a process. What does the energy mix look like today that we need to assist us in our energy crisis, but also one that doesn't vilify anything, not renewables, not oil, not gas?
So currently, our electricity generation is still very, very highly dependent on coal. And unfortunately, our coal-fired power stations are getting old. They are not even able to meet our own domestic limits in terms of air quality standards, in terms of emissions. So never mind the climate change debate. We also, as South Africans, would want to have a cleaner environment in which we operate. So therefore, as we try to transition and as we decommission the coal-fired power station, the risk that I see is that this is baseload generation that we are decommissioning. And therefore, it must be replaced by similar type of generation. I like what one of the engineers likes saying, to say that megawatts are not just a mathematical thing. They are not the same. There is what we call dispatchable power. So coal-fired power stations in this country offer us dispatchable power. And as we move away, are we replacing it with dispatchable power? And that is where I think the debate, or many of us as normal South Africans, miss the debate. People would say, no, don't build up other gas-powered fire stations. What we want, gas-powered electricity generation power stations, what we want is only solar and wind. But that is intermittent supply of electricity. Secondly, I think the big mistake we're making is we look at the tariffs that come out from a renewable energy IPP procurement program. And we say, look at the tariffs coming out for solar generation. They're around 50 cents per kilowatt hour. But that generation is only limited to certain hours of the day. Mm. So if we want that power to be dispatchable, if we want to compare apples for apples, actually we should be looking at that solar generation plus the storage that is required to store that that clean electricity for use during the hours when the sun is not shining. So in short, let's compare the cost of dispatchable power generation with other dispatchable power generation. But we polarize the debate. We look at the numbers headline and we say, here is the tariff for solar electricity generation.
It's cheaper.
Look at what it compares to. Mm-hmm. It's cheaper, it's cleaner. But we're not really looking at the characteristic of that electricity.
So I'm very keen to find out about the exploration, which is really what your organization is tasked to do here. It's to really manage onshore and offshore exploration. I want us to talk about how there have been efforts for more exploration in South Africa, but there've also been many roadblocks. And so let's talk about, first maybe the efforts to have more exploration being done and why it's being so challenged and by who?
So we have people who strongly believe that the exploration techniques and technology that we use cause irreparable harm to the environment. Mm-hmm. I want to put it on record that there is no scientific evidence that points to that. In actual fact, as a country, we've been doing our own exploration for the last 40, 50 years. Fishing in Mossel Bay is still continuing. Not only did we explore in our south coast, just as off Mossel Bay, offshore Mossel Bay, we not only explored, we also produced our own oil and gas there. And yet we still have our fish stocks. Mm. So there are people who like to use the narrative that actually exploration will cause irreparable harm to our marine environment. Mm. We're still, you can see this by the use of sensational words. Mm. So when we do seismic surveys, they say we are blasting the ocean. Noluthando and your listeners, all we are doing is we are sending compressed air into the ocean floor. We are using that technique of using air to get the image of the subsurface of the sea. This is the similar technology to what we do when we do a scan of a pregnant mother.
Oh, interesting.
Seriously, we send sound waves and we get an image of where the baby is. Now we're using the same sound compression technology to get an image to see where the oil and gas deposits are. Mm-hmm. And then people will say, this is what causes fish to die.
We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Phindile Masangane. She is the CEO of a Petroleum Agency of South Africa. We've spoken all things about South Africa's energy mix, energy security. And right now we are speaking all things exploration. However, we do have a call from Sfiso from the Vaal who'd like to weigh in. Sfiso, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Mm.
Go
I just want to put my two cents in the conversation. I just overheard it as I was knocking off here on the radio station. Mm. There's something that your guest said about renewable coal, and it's like he's undermining the intelligence of your listeners, asking us, hey, when they blast down water, we're not killing fish and stuff like that. Mm. One thing that I think as a society that we want is energy. We want power. And currently, South Africa has 100 years worth of coal in reserves. So to go to renewable energy, we can transition into that, as she did say. But the transitioning is going to take, I think, another 100 years. So why can't we now focus the agenda on what? Building the current economy with the resources that we have now. Because we do not have the relevant technology, and we cannot source the relevant technology to go out there and get this renewable resources, all this blasting, all of these things that require a lot of technicians and a whole lot of engineering. Mm-hmm. All we know and all we are good at is the resources that we have, which is the coal. Why can't we focus rather on that? So what we are being let down with is the current legislation or the parties that be, or the government that be, sorry about that, the government that be, is signing into legislations about renewable energy, what, whereas they're taking our coal to other countries. As she rightfully said, that the first world countries that are giving us this order to sign these things are still the same countries that are using coal and all of these harmful things. You know what I mean? So why can't we go back to a position of we fix our economy the way that it's supposed to be with the resources that we have? Because this technology that's needed for renewable energies and stuff like that, guys, it just costs too much. And as a country, we're going through too much and we just need to fix what we can so that at least we are on an equal playing ground, so that we can play with the world, so we can be at one, so that, no, we can trade equally. Because now we're from a disadvantageous position.
Gotcha, Sfis. I'm going to ask Dr. Pindile to weigh in on that, and I think you'll find that she actually agrees with you. But Dr. Pindile, please go on.
Thanks, Noluthando. Sfiso, good evening, and thank you for dialing in. Me and you are on exactly the same page as Sfiso, because what we are advocating for as the Petroleum Agency SA is to say, let us continue using the resources that we have. Yes, climate change is real, and we do have to transition, but that transition, as you also say, will take us some time. Let me also be quick to add that this government is intensifying its efforts in terms of developing our carbon capture technologies. Those are the technologies that actually will even extract or remove the carbon emission as we use coal. So as a government of the Republic of South Africa, we really are advocating for all the energy resources that we have as a country. So spot on, Sfiso. So thank you very much for the call.
Now, Dr. Pindile, we don't have much time left, and I think I have to touch on this, or I don't think you'll forgive me, but we must really speak about the socio-economic transformation potential of more exploration of the oil and gas resources in this country. You know, we can speak about the energy poverty situation, but there's other things, you know, other byproducts of being able to explore. Talk to us about this and how they are important for the development of South Africa's economy.
Actually, I saw the governor of the Reserve Bank the other time putting out statistics that this country is reliant on revenues that come from royalties in the mining sector. And I was tempted to tweet him to say, actually, governor, we have another resource that we have that can help us to find new revenues to the fiscus. We did a study recently of a discovery that we have on our south coast, the Block 11B, 12B discovery, as we call it. Noluthando and your listeners, our economic analysis done by an independent expert shows that actually the revenues, if we were to extract that resource, would give us 26 billion rand a year, new revenues into the fiscus. Secondly, if we use that gas to supply to our state-owned entity called Petro SA on its refinery, we can save some of the jobs. As you know, that refinery currently is under care and maintenance. So if you were to supply it with this gas from Block 11B, 12B, we will mitigate those potential losses from that refinery. Importantly, of course, it's that you will mitigate the imports that you have to bring into the country. So even your balance of payment will be healthier if we were to develop our own oil and gas resources. So the benefits are much wider than even energy security. They spill over into the socio-economic sector. As Sfiso said when he called in to say, these are the sectors that we know. We've been producing oil and gas in our south coast for the last about 30 years. It has depleted, but there is another discovery that we can start to produce, beneficiate, and see the economic spins off coming into the country. Lastly, I'm sure you know that when that 1.3 TCF was discovered in our south coast, it was on that basis that we built the refinery. And look at the development in Mossel Bay now. Out of 1.3 TCF, Noluthando, we have 4 TCF at our disposal. 1.3 TCF built Mossel Bay into what it is. We have 4 TCF. The question is, what do we want to do with it?
Well, Dr. Pinita, I think you've given us a lot to think about it. And I think for me, the most important part is why are we allowing this energy conversation to be so polarizing, you know, and the lack of the healthy debate and healthy sharing of ideas that is being lost to this polarizing thought about South Africa's energy future. Thank you so much for your time. An absolute pleasure catching up with you. And thank you so much for coming into studio. That is Dr. Pinita Masande. She is the CEO of Petroleum Agency of South Africa, coming to speak to us all things petroleum, all things energy mix, and also, you know, just being careful of the facts and the misinformation that is out there about South Africa's energy future.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.